Hello and welcome to day two of the Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year 2015 countdown slash deliberations. I'm your host Mark Packham, joined by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hiya.
And Joe Branton.
Welcome.
And for day two, we are tackling 2015's best amp and 2015's best product of 2014.
Oh, so existential.
It's my favourite category, that.
Best amp sort of speaks for itself, the best amplifier released this year. 2015's best product for 2014 is our, basically, we look at what we nominated for our Gear of the Year previously, last year, and we say, you know, what's lasted the test of time? What should win? So, let's kick off with best amp. And the nominations are PV Classic 20 Mini, Marshall 2555X, Orange Micro Dark, Victory Kraken, Blackstar Artist, the Roland JC40, and the Marshall Astoria. So,
banging.
Let's tackle the PV Classic 20 Mini. J Cross.
Great amp.
Okay, you've got a bit of a penchant for the PV Classic series.
I do.
Tell us about the 20 Mini.
The 20 Mini is a 20 watt valve head.
Yeah.
That has the stylings of all of the classic, the old classic 30s and the classic 50s and the Delta Blues series,
which is a tweed, a sort of Fender. Which,
yeah, it's like
style.
It's basically like a you know, a Fender tweed. Yeah, what Joe said. And it's but it's in a mini head for £400 or whatever it is, and you've got direct USB record out, which I think is brilliant.
Something they introduced with the Valve Kings a couple of years ago.
Yes, yeah, and I think it's good. It's a bit of a romantic story in that, you know, the PV sort of, it looked like it might be all over for a little while, especially
well,
here
certainly
in Europe,
yeah,
because everything, because they lost their distribution and then everything just disappeared and we didn't see anything, and there was that big fire sale where they just sold off everything super cheap,
just sold and fires, just sold like fires. We're not going to sell amps anymore, just sell
and it just
three bar heaters and
just,
things like that.
It was sad. It looked like that was the end of it, and we thought, oh man. And then out of nowhere, the Classic Mini came out, and then also the is it a Valve King Mini or is it a...
The Valve King Mini first and then the Classic
that already existed,
Mini, and
didn't
then
it?
The...
5150 Mini? 6505 Mini?
6505 Mini,
6505
yeah.
Mini. So that came out as well. And yeah, I think this is definitely the pick of the bunch.
But a super astute thing to bring out. You think that the specs on this, you know, it's portable, it's giggable, and you can record with it as well. It's something that you can literally do everything without it being an effort to transport. This is exactly the spec that got, as we were saying in the last podcast, that got the Laney
IRT Studio
yep. into our first Gear of the Year 2 years ago.
It's like an evolution of all the things on that, because you've got, you know, switchable attenuation on the output, you know, 25 and 1. You've got USB out for direct recording. You've got a speaker emulation out for straight into a PA. You've got headphone out, so you can just go straight into headphones, and there's an inbuilt load box into it as well. And effects loop, you know,
and it's channels. And
yeah,
and
that's it. I was going to say, and crucially, it looks brilliant.
Yeah.
You know,
and
what,
reverb as well.
You know what this is?
Oh, it's reverb on it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, digital reverb, but still a good sounding digital reverb.
What this is it is the thing that I think is quite funny about this is, it's essentially what Fender should have brought out a couple of years ago. They should have brought out a Blues Junior head.
Oh, with USB.
And they've not done it, and PV have basically gone, yeah, all right, mate, we'll just do that then.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. You know, it's I really like the voicing of the Classic series. I always have. I think those amps are fantastic. Really, really fantastic. And yeah, this is just a brilliant... You know, it's not... I don't think it's a game changer by any means, but what it is it's a small... cool head that gives you that just has all the features that you would want it to.
It's
you
all
could
you
definitely
need.
Gig with it as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That's it. It is all you need. It's actually all you need. You can have it for recording. It's small enough to have at home, maybe on like a sort of a little 10-inch speaker or something like that, and you can gig with it. Everything you need.
We've really noticed in the last, you know, and certainly in the time we've been doing the podcast, like the revolution of like the bedroom guitarist, and the fact that there's more stuff out there that's accessible to people who, you know, who don't gig, who play in smaller, you know, places at home or whatever. And you know, certainly when I was a kid, you know, you wanted a stack because that's what you saw everyone play. But now you go, yeah, like a mini head like that for £400 or £500 with all these options is like
way more suited to, you know, something someone who is primarily playing at home, but then occasionally goes and does some gigs. Like the 20 watt head, it will definitely be loud enough to gig with.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And like you say, they look super cool.
Mm. I agree. I think for the occasional gigger, this is the ultimate product down there.
And I also think, you know, given the high praise that we gave the IRT Studio a couple of years ago, this could be up there for, you know, certainly a high place in this category, but also, you know, in the final. It depends what else comes up. But yeah, we talked about the IRT Studio, which basically has all the features that this has, but kind of looks like a bit of a brick.
Well, that's exactly
like,
it. It's just a 1980s rack mount.
It's just, it's just a 19-inch rack. Yeah. Yeah. Whereas this looks like the cool PV Classic Series heads.
And I've got a real soft spot for amps like this that can just do everything in a really reasonably sized package. And the fact that this is full valve as well. I just think this is an absolutely great piece of gear. And yeah, completely. I think a lot of the other stuff on this list will be very good, but won't necessarily be as innovative as this is. And, you know, even though, Jay, you said it, like, that it's not a game changer, I do think this is the only thing on here that's not just another amp.
Well, it's the only thing that's kind of got those kind of extended features, I guess. I mean, there's certainly things on here that have got reasons that they stand out on the list.
Sure,
but in terms of like USB recording and stuff and this is attenuation, it's got a lot of features.
But this is how amps should be being made. This is the ultimate example and probably the only example here of a company looking at how people are using amplifiers today. This is a reaction to today's market rather than just making another good sounding head. This is them changing features. And unlike Gibson with robot tuners and all those things, these are features that people want changed in amp heads. I just think, and for a company like PV, exactly, you know, as Jay was saying, for a company that we weren't even sure was going to exist in Europe, certainly the last people I then expect to come up with the most innovative idea. And certainly I expect Fender to think of these things, you know. I expect Orange to think of these things. I expect big amp brands to think of these. I'm not saying PV aren't a big amp brand, but you know, they've been flogging the same horse for a long, long time.
Well, of course, they've not really. I mean, that's not necessarily true, actually. Like, Valve Kings and stuff did do some of this stuff, and, you know, they kind of kick-started a bit of a kind of cheap Valve amp or Valve head thing a few years ago when they brought out the VK100. And the Micro 20 Valve King.
Was it them that did the Windsor as well?
Yeah, the Windsor is one of the worst amps I've ever heard.
And they also did the, you know, they did things like the Viper series, which never really took off. But that, you know, there's certainly gems within.
Yeah, yeah, completely. And that's always been the thing with PV, it's finding the gems in the range, because they do. They make
PV Bandit
everything. The PV Bandit again, you know, is the one of the best solid state amps ever made, but it's about finding that gem.
Yeah.
Actually, if they did a Bandit head now, that'd be awesome. I'd be into that. So next on the list, Marshall 2555X, the reissue of the Silver Jubilee.
It's the 2555X is how you're.
Oh, that's different to the two times that I've said it already. So
it's the 2555.
Okay, 2555. So as you know so much about it, Jay, tell us about it.
Well, it's a reissue of the 2550, which was the Silver Jubilee. Is that right?
Yeah, 2550. It's based on taking off designs of like the 2203 and the 2204, which were the master volume versions of the JCM 800, and they made it in the 80s. And I think it was one of its like famous players was Slash, and it was the first ever Marshall amp to feature pentode triode switching, which at the time was a pretty revolutionary thing. And you know, kind of the start of amp being slightly lower powered. Do you know what I mean? People wouldn't really consider making a 25 watt valve amp, because for 20 years previous to when this came out, everyone wanted 100 watt valve amp.
The most. Well, because they needed it, because the PA systems weren't up to scratch, and
with this, it's, you know, all made in the UK, which is great for Marshall to kind of go back into.
Are they
They're made in the UK, and single channel effectively. It's foot switchable lead channel, but you've got a pull rhythm switch as well, so you can get a wide range of super sort of spanky clean sounds and super driven sounds as well. And because it's master volume, you can really crank the preamp. So the early designs of those, and the ones that kind of went before it, things like the Plexi, the sounds that people want, were all through cranking 100 watts to, you know, unlistenable levels,
ear bleeding volumes.
Yeah, where these are, you know, it sounds like the classic Marshall sound that you want. This is, you know, the great thing about this amp is it sounds like the Marshall sound in everyone's heads. You know, you think of Marshall when you think of that rock sound, you think of basically this amplifier.
Yeah, completely. And the original is one of the best amps I've ever heard. And the reissue kind of didn't disappoint, really. You know, it's kind of exactly what you'd expect. I mean, did you get to spend much time with it, Madge?
I've plugged it in, you know, numerous times for people, and every time I've plugged in like a Les Paul into it, I'm just like, this is the sound that you want.
Yeah,
it's
completely.
You know, really usable, great sound, sort of traditional Marshall sounds basically. And I suppose, you know, maybe like some other things, like, you know, we're just talking about the PV, maybe it's not groundbreaking in the sense of, you know, they're putting loads of new features on it, but what they are doing is going, hold on, as a company, Marshall hold, you know, one of the best all-round guitar tones out there. And they've kind of gone, well, we don't need to change anything, we just need to go back to what we were doing. And I think, you know, maybe Marshall lost that, you know, recently with some of their other products, and then they've kind of gone, actually,
it's quite a world away from something like a JVM, isn't it? In that JVM is, you know, like 9 channels or whatever it is, with like loads of effects loops and stuff, and this is very much going back to a classic design.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people out there who want Marshall, they want to stick with that brand, but they don't want something really modern like the JVM.
What I would suggest, and this will come up later when we do the cut, is because it is so faithful to the original, is there enough to make this the best amp of 2015?
Well, I think that's the thing. I almost think that, you know, a lot of people who bought them because they wanted, they know and love the people that use the original, and they can't now buy an original.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, yeah, let's get that. But I think the problem is that it is a big amplifier.
Yes.
And I think not many people are buying them because of the size of them. You know, I mean, I say that, I suppose I can't really say that because I don't really know the full details of it, but I think more, you know, if you kind of maybe what we're saying with guitars, in the sense that, you know, if you had £1,000 to spend on a guitar, you'd go for something more classic than maybe something more niche. But if you had £1,000 to spend on an amplifier, you're probably now going to go for something that's one that's got all valves and has got more modern features for recording. You're not necessarily going to go for a 100-watt valve head and a 4x12 cap.
We'll talk about this when we do the cut. Is this does this stack up as one of the best, at least top 5 products of 2015? The Marshall is a huge amp, but one of the amps that is not huge is the Orange Mike.
This is the worst segue ever.
It's not, you know, small, isn't it?
The Marshall is big.
This is little.
Things that are not big.
Something about Joe's stuff. The Orange Micro Dark. This isn't, it's not very old, is it, the Micro Dark? It released in the last couple months?
Yeah, a month ago, maybe?
Something like that. Very new.
So, they're new, really, really small amp, but with some of the voicings from their Dark series. J. Cross, have you had a chance to listen to a Micro Dark?
I have, very briefly. I really like it. I think they are very, very, very cool, and a very good and a very natural upgrade. Is it an upgrade? I don't know. J. Cross grade. A very natural sort of sister product to the to the
Micro Terra.
Thank you. Yes. And I think it's good because I'm not a huge fan of the Tiny Terror.
Okay.
I think that we owe it a lot because it was obviously the catalyst that led to a lot of these amps being produced.
Lunchbox amps.
And I think that this is more where like a company like Orange should be, and other companies as well, should be aiming to produce sort of those smaller amps. If they're not going to, because the thing with the Tiny Terror is it's very simple. It's not like, for example, the classic 20 Mini, which is a small amp that has a bucket load of features.
Sure.
Whereas the Tiny Terror is just a small valve amp, which 10 years ago or whatever when it came out was revolutionary.
Yeah.
And I think if we'd been doing Gear of the Year then, hands down it would have won.
And weirdly, no one was really challenging it for the first few years. Like, they weren't just little lunchbox
amps. I think it's because no one thought it would take off.
Yeah, but at the time, like you say, people were playing 100 watt stacks.
Yeah.
It's quite a world away from that.
And I think they're great. I don't think it's going to change the world. But I think that they're really, really cool.
Do you know what though? I think more people have, from my sort of hands-on experience, especially the last couple of months, is that more people have plugged in the MicroDark and gone, wow, I just have to buy one of these because it's such a cool amp to just have. And I think, you know, they made a couple of changes to it that made it more usable for home, which is one, the headphone out with the cab sim.
Yeah.
The buffered effects loop, because when you're using quite a lot of gain, you don't want to put your delays and stuff
in the front end.
In the front end. So it allows you to run loads of different effects, and it cleans up really nicely. I think the greatest thing though is when you take it away from the little 1x8 cab,
plug it into a 412
and plug it into something bigger.
Yeah.
Which I know not a lot of people are going to be doing necessarily at home, but I think we mentioned it a few podcasts ago that people are buying them and keeping them in their pedal board bag. So you know, if your amp breaks, whatever, you can go into that and you can go straight out into any cab, or you can just go cab some out through the headphones straight into the desk
completely.
I actually was playing a function show, and the guitarist in one of the other bands, yes, there had one of these that he just had on the floor going off into a
I mean brilliant, because once you go into a PA, you're only limited by the
the volume of the PA.
You, and these do clean up very well, and they, you know, they're not, I think the problem is by like Dark Terror adds that thing that it's going to be all high gain.
Yeah.
It definitely cleans up very well. It doesn't maybe clean up as much as the Micro Terror, but you know, if you're a volume player, it's brilliant. But yeah, going into a 2x12, it was one of the loudest amps, and I was like, this is insane.
I always love that, like getting a tiny little lunchbox amp and plugging it into a 412, whatever the kind of make, or even like, do you remember Smokies?
Yeah,
like
I remember when, I think we did it. When I, you know, not long when I first started working with you, and we plugged a Smoky into a 412. But like, God, this is ridiculous, because there's no volume on the Smokies. They're just like,
do they still exist?
What is a Smoky?
I don't even know what it is.
Little amps built into cigarette packets. You never seen those?
No, never seen.
Really?
Yeah, I've got a similar thing built into a can of Special Brew.
Unbelievable. So another small amp on the list is the Victory Kraken. Matt, you're probably best to speak to this. I think you'll probably be the only one who's had hands on, but yeah, you described them earlier as awesome.
Yeah, I think the is that a great quote? Can I use that as marketing quote? Matt Knight says
awesome, five stars.
Yeah. So for people who are not really aware, Victory came out of the sort of brain of Martin Kidd, who designed all the Cornford stuff, which were massively popular. I mean, when I started playing guitar, like, they were the boutique brand.
It was so weird, wasn't it? Because it was just like, okay, you go into a shop and you've got Marshall, you didn't even have Orange at that time. You might have Boogie, Fender, and then it's like, oh, there's this other brand, and it's like the only boutique brand you will have heard of.
But these, you know, the things like the MK50, like they're big amps like that, they were expensive.
Oh, like the Hurricane and stuff.
Yeah,
they were
a lot of money. And you know, I think Cornford sort of, I think there's some things that happened within Cornford and it ceased to be a company. But Martin Kidd was just like a master designer, and I think he'd gone to work for another company, and he was just building amps at that point. Where are Ashdown made? The UK built ones.
Ashdown Forest.
But there's a company that makes all the UK built, there's a little factory that makes all the English built Orange stuff and the English built Ashdown stuff, and I forget what it was called, but that's where they build them all. They're not built in house, they're basically farmed out to another company who just built them. And he designed all these amps, and they did the V30, which Guthrie had used on world tours. And then they were like, well, what we should do is make a drive amp that's got two drive channels, because some people just don't use clean, but they want an amp with more versatility. And the idea behind this is that you've got basically a 5150 on one side and a JCM on the other side, so you've got two distinct channels of two very, very popular high gain amplifiers with, you know, two master volumes.
That's a great idea.
It's only small, isn't it? That's
it's a lunchbox size. Yeah, so
it's,
you've got
bright red.
No, it's not,
it's grey.
It's gunmetal grey. You're thinking of a different one they make, but yeah, it's, you know, two master volumes, two drive channels, and a lot of the videos I've been doing are saying, you know, use two into two 2x12s for like a monster setup, like amp either side, basically.
That sounds awesome.
Or what some people have been doing is going into a 412 with stereo inputs that use two sides of the 212s.
You think that is exactly what the reason that my band have to spend loads on a massive van, because our guitarist lugs around two separate two separate 212s. Changed to 212s now. It was two 412s and two separate 30 watt heads.
But the
exactly both driven both to do that. And this essentially can do that.
Yeah. And I think the great thing is as well is that the overall design, so you've got two channels, two you know, master foot switchable master volumes, but also a high and low powered mode, and then when you're in low powered mode you've got single ended mode, which basically allows you to use one preamp valve as your power output stage to drive it down to just 1 or 2 watts.
That's
so
mental.
Perfect for home use as well. So the metal player who wants a JCM 900 or a 5150-esque design, but for home use that's all valve and recording. It's a brilliant design. I think the great thing is that the guy who designed it thought a long time about the actual product, and everything that he designs comes out of that kind of old Cornford sort of style, which people did really love. They're, you know, sort of really revered. They've kind of got like a cult behind them almost, and it's nice that he's now doing sort of a more mass market amplifier.
It's quite a world away sound wise isn't it, from the Cornford stuff, because the Cornford stuff I remember being quite safe.
Yeah, the Cornford's very traditional. We again, my guitarist used a Cornford Roadhouse 30 on our last record for quite a lot of it, and bear in mind he normally uses Orange or Hovercraft.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's of that sort of elk, I guess.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, it's got switchable valves. You can have 6L6s or EL34s. They're self-binding, so you can literally just change the valves in them, and they're, you know, £800.
I didn't actually look anything up on this amp, so this is all completely
good.
Well,
I'm glad you're, you know, promoting it as one of the best amps of 2015.
But I am. This sounds like the best thing I've ever heard. This is again just like a really astute, modern,
completely
sensible. Like, unlike the Marshall. This is the problem, I guess, with the Jubilee reissue is it's just a reissue. And the amp world is changing. Unlike the guitar world, which is staying relatively firmly in the same place, the amp world's changing. This is the future of amps. This sounds great.
Yeah.
So, another new entry on the list, only just announced, I guess, but I guess you guys have had a chance to have a look at them.
I think Jay's had more hands on
time
than me.
The Black Star Artist series.
Yes.
Tell us about them.
So, I've had a quick go. Joe, you did a demo with it as well, I think, didn't you?
Yeah,
They're very cool. They're very, you know, we had a chat about them a couple of weeks ago, in that I think they sit in a bit of a weird price point, because they are essentially it's a 15 watt, it's a boutique 15 watt amp, and it's two channels. Is it two channels? I can't remember.
I believe they are.
Yes.
Channel. They sounded very good. They're very expensive. They're 700.
It's a weird place for Blackstar, because I do still think of Blackstar as being the amp of choice for like metal bands, hardcore bands, stuff like that. And they don't exist outside of that. They really gear their look around that as well.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how many people in those genres are buying 15 watt amps.
These are much more kind of classy looking, I would say.
Are they?
Yeah.
That Blackstar logo is pretty hard to make classy.
That's true. That is true. But they're a small black box, essentially. You know, they're not like Tweed or anything. They're never going to appeal to the real trad market. But they're pretty understated in how they look. So Matt, you've got the spec there. Two channels. As far as I can remember, the idea behind it is one of them's voiced much more for pedal users.
Yeah, so you've got like a stripped back channel, which is just like volume and tone, which is, you know, I suppose in a way maybe a cleaner sort of idea to it. So it's just, you know, it's like non-master volume in a sense. And then you've got channel two, which has got 3-band EQ and their ISF control, so a little bit more traditional sort of Blackstar sound. 6L6, so it's that kind of Fender vibe with kind of quite a glassy, you know, bright top end. And, you know, I remember saying, I think we were talking about it in a podcast a couple of months ago, when we were saying, oh, it's more expensive than the Blues Junior, but it is kind of a completely different design to that. And I suppose it's £700, it's sort of aiming at a boutique amp that's not necessarily boutique build, but certainly has the look and the feel about it.
Yeah, from what I understand, so they've basically gone for a similar feature set to something like a Blues Junior, but obviously two channel, the key is that it's in quite a bigger box, which is something that
does make a difference.
I always say about the Blues Junior, you know, we love it, we talk about it loads, but they can sound a little bit boxy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And as we found out with Matt's Pro Junior upgrade,
rehousing it makes a huge difference.
Completely.
I think the thing I like about this amp is they've kind of gone, oh, you know, people love like things like the Marshall Handwired, but they're a bit too basic. And this is, you know, sort of taking that sort of design, that sort of look, and then going, how can we do it for half the price?
Yeah.
And basically giving someone an alternative option to not spending loads of money on a Marshall Handwired and maybe going for a Fender that probably doesn't offer them the tone that they want.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that, and this is more sort of nitpicking than anything, one of the things that annoys me about it is the name. I don't really understand why they've called it the Artist 15.
Because there's already Artist Series models.
No, there's the Artisan.
Ah, okay.
And so it we talked about those new the Vox VX amp. No, not the Vox VX. The new the Vox VT series.
Yes.
And how when you like Google Vox VT 20X or something, it comes up saying, "Oh, did you mean VT20?" He's like, "No, I didn't mean that.
I meant the VT20X."
And the same as with this, when you Google Blackstar Artisan 15, Blackstar Artist 15, it says, "Oh, did you mean Blackstar Artisan 15?" It's like, why? You know, it just seems like they're
calling something else.
Well, they're sort of muddying the waters a little bit too much, I think. And
this is more ist and less zan.
Yes,
very good.
And,
very good.
Yeah, I mean, they are a very, very good amp. They are a very good amp. And I've just re-looked up the specs, and I've remembered that, you know, you've only got a single EQ on the first channel.
Yes,
and you've got three band and the ISF on channel two, and I'm just it just seems like it's because it's not quite an AC30 and it's not quite a blues deluxe or a Hot Rod deluxe, and it's not quite a blues breaker, you know, it's not a 6505, you know, it's not really any one thing, it's quite a few things. And I'm not sure where it's going to sit in the market.
I agree.
That's my concern with it, because when I plugged it in, I thought it sounded brilliant. Mm-hmm. I really, really did think it sounded brilliant.
It sounds brilliant, but you're not necessarily going to hear that because you're not going to be drawn to it. It's not an amp.
Yeah.
You go, oh, yeah, that new, because I think if you're maybe looking for that, you probably already found, you might be, if you're especially looking for something maybe like, I hate to use, no, not class is probably not a thing, but you know, you're looking for single channel.
Yeah,
you're probably thinking, oh, I'm going to spend like £1,000 at least, and then I suppose it opens up the channels to more things. Maybe.
I guess the thing for me,
I don't know, maybe not.
When I think about these sort of things, is you think about who, you know, I sort of think about it from a sort of a salesperson kind of view, I think, to a certain degree, and it's like, who is going to come in and try this amp? Is it going to be someone who says, right, I've got an AC30 and I want another amp to go with it? Are you going to suggest to them this? Or if you've got, I think the person who's going to buy this is someone who doesn't want to spend the money or can't afford to spend the money on a Boogie. And that really for me is the only place that it kind of sits, is it's not as expensive as a Boogie, but it still sounds very good, but it's not quite a Boogie.
I would say it's justified looking at it if you want something that's volume-wise comparable with a Blues Junior, but is in a similar size box to a Hot Rod Deluxe. That would be...
Oh, yeah, what a great market that is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not sure that...
But it is someone who...
Is this going to be bought by someone who isn't already bought into the Blackstar brand? Is this going to win people over? I don't think it will. I think it might... It may be people who've got, for example, you know, maybe what they're doing is they're going, okay, listen, the kids who got into Blackstar 5 years ago who had all those Series 1 heads, they're sort of getting a little bit older now and they're maybe, you know, they're not playing metal so much and perhaps they want to do something a bit bluesier, but they want to offer them an alternative that sticks within that sort of, that brand. But is someone who, my point is someone who plays a Vox or someone who plays a Fender going to go for one of these?
Let's when we get to cutting this category down, let's bear that in mind. Next up, an amp that was, I would say, as it was announced, we basically wrote it on this list, the Roland JC40. Now, as a lover of the jazz chorus, Matt, what did you think about the JC40?
It's brilliant. I'm so glad that they've kind of brought out a much smaller version of the classic Jazz Cross. I mean, they always made them originally.
Well, you've got one.
And I've got a 50. But, you know, they even went down to, I think the original series was a 20-watt, a mini 20-watt combo. They did a 40, I don't know, they did a 50, a 55, a 70, a 77, a 120, a 140 and a 120 head. Yeah. So it was a massive range of amplifiers, but the 120 was always the one that stuck with people. It was always the classic. But the problem is that even though they're an amp you can still buy today, they're £1,000, they're solid state and they're quite heavy. So bringing this out and redesigning the classic at like £600, amazing clean tones, completely solid state. And I think playing through it, you're not necessarily going, oh, I'm just going through a solid state amp. You're going through, I'm going through an amazing sounding amplifier.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that it hasn't got some valves in it.
No. Well, if anything, come on, these are the ultimate amps for pedal players.
Yeah,
for people
exactly.
Who loads of pedals.
Exactly.
It's a completely transparent, completely clean, solid
and,
state amp.
You know, they've redesigned the drive circuit because the drive circuit in the originals is terrible. There's, you know, even, they even say that in some of their demo, in some of the demos I saw at like NAMM. They're like, look, the original JCE drives were rubbish.
Yeah.
So we've redesigned it based on the blues cubes and the great sounds you're getting out of
which
that. And because it's not the same size as the 120, went, oh, well, we don't get the same chorus sound. So there's a preset in the Jazz Chorus 40 that gives you the JC 120 stereo chorus clean sound.
Yeah, so there's some sort of like delay or like
yeah,
going on phase
shifter.
Yeah,
so they basically
something.
Press that button and it just sounds like a JC 120.
Right.
And, you know.
How does the drive sound? How's the drive sound in these ones? Because what I've read has been still people
I think
sort
the
of
thing,
saying, I'm not really into
I think it's,
and I know that it's not designed to be a drive, a driven amp.
I think, you know, if it, I think, you know, they've gone, oh, it's 40, you know, it's a 40 year old design, let's reissue it. I think if they went down the Blues Cube artist route and actually said, actually, let's just sack off the drive completely and just make a clean sound
yeah.
chorus in a new design may have been a better way to go
right.
for the future. But I don't think anyone who's going to buy this realistically is going to use the drive.
Very diplomatic answer.
I just, you know, I don't think you, I think it's going to
yeah.
sound, I think it's going to be better plugging a drive pedal into it.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think that maybe they shouldn't have bothered with the
yeah.
They shouldn't have added it on just as they're like, oh well.
And actually, I think one of the
just
great,
give away a DS1 with it or something.
Yeah. I think the thing is that they've gone, look, people are using high end drive pedals. They're not necessarily going to plug a Boss pedal.
Yeah,
into
yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
We
yeah.
need to make it sound
yeah.
because at the time, you know, when these came out, there wasn't that many drive pedals with it.
No.
And I think that's why people always stuck with them for clean sounds, because you plug a fuzz face into it and it was like, oh, it sounds good, but you know. People had this, had the Marshall stacks, so these became the ultimate studio tool. And I think the great thing they've added onto this is the fact that the inputs are true stereo. So for everyone out there who's using Timelines, DD500s, anything like that, it's true stereo split between the two speakers, so you get these huge sounds out of a tiny amplifier.
So we've already had the Marshall 2555X on this list. Another Marshall product that came out this year to much fanfare was the Marshall Astoria. Give us the rundown, Jay.
Well, these only sort of arrived around the time that I sort of
departed
from a shop. I think Matt's probably more of a...
Yeah, I'm still sort of getting used to it because there's three amps that they do in heads and combos, and each one is slightly different spec and slightly different
and a different colour.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, and a different colour. So,
so which one of these should be on our list?
Because there are, well, you, I'm sure we can. It's sort of a range, isn't it?
It's a range.
What are the three colours? It's blue,
red, and green.
Red and green. Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember, because one of them's like KT66s, one of them's like EL84s, and then one of them's like a more low powered. So yeah, it's the classic, the custom, and the dual. If it was me, maybe I'd go for the Classic because it's designed to be a single channel amp. They just want completely loud and clean sounds. But maybe we'd be better off going for maybe the Custom, because I think the Custom had the Custom's got the pull attenuation.
Yes.
So the continuable attenuation.
So what we've got essentially is a flexible amp. The reason that I kind of put it on this list, I think, obviously, you know what you're expecting Marshall sound-wise. I think the looks are incredible. Like, one of the best-looking amps that Marshall have made for a long time. And they stray quite far from the usual Marshall black and gold. Do we think, and this is going early into the kind of, slightly into the cut before time, does the Marshall Astoria stand up on this list?
It's a lot of money.
I think that's a, that, you know, it's difficult because we try not to always take cost into it, I suppose. I suppose it is a factor, but, you know, they're what, over $2,000?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Marshall now are competing with a lot of other companies that are making similar amps at the same price within, you know, a big range. And actually, rather than adding on tons of features, they've taken loads of stuff away. They've added the modern feature of the continuous power attenuation, which featured on the Marshall AFD. It's a great sounding amplifier, and Marshall are really resting on the fact that, you know, it's built in England and it's got that classic Marshall sound, and they've gone, well, maybe people want to use it more at home, so we've kind of added that attenuation so you can work the valves harder at lower volumes. But is it a bit too late for this particular product? Like, are they trying
to get into the boutique market when the boutique market has kind of happened?
Yeah,
already.
And those brands are now going, actually, we're making cheaper versions of the stuff we've made this really expensive, and they've kind of made stuff that actually, oh no, we'll make this expensive one. It's like, yeah, but now people want the same, they want all the boot, and that's, you know, things like, you know, the Victory and the Orange and things like that, and the Classic 20, where you could buy a boutique amp with all those features, but actually you could just buy a cheaper one that does exactly the same thing.
Bear that in mind when we do the cut. Jay has added one more amp to this list. I need confirmation came out this year.
A genius it did, yeah.
Fox AC-10.
Yeah. An absolutely brilliant little amp.
I can't believe we missed this off beforehand. Okay, so why should the Vox AC-10 be on this list?
The Vox AC-10 is a brilliant, brilliant little amp. So it's a 10-inch speaker rather than 12-inch speaker. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes. So it's. I think that this is really good as a alternative to like the AC4s, for example, which were possibly a little bit limiting. I think you could use this at home, the AC10. Whereas something like the AC15, maybe not.
You would struggle, I think. They're still a bit too raw.
The AC10, you know, for example, like this room, or in your, you know, this is, I live in a house where the living room is, you know, it's relatively large, but high ceilings, thin walls, wooden laminate floors. You know, if I was playing guitar in here with a 15-watt amp, my neighbours would all be coming around knocking on the door telling me to shut up. You know, there's no two ways about it.
What sounds so good? Oh, it's this Vox AC-10 that I've plugged in.
But the AC-10, I think, addresses that because it's 10 watts rather than 15. It's a 10-inch speaker, so you get a bit more sort of directionality, and, you know, you don't have to turn it up quite as much as you would possibly with a 12-inch speaker. I don't know, maybe. And it's 3-band EQ. Digital reverb, which sounds great.
Lost the tremolo,
which, you know, probably I don't think is too big a deal.
I don't know, man. I think that was like the essential Vox thing.
Is it for if you want something to play at home?
But maybe not. I mean, I tell you what I would buy a Vox for is for playing a baritone with the tremolo and reverb turned up on 4.
Yeah,
And so it removes that option. Which is a shame, but don't get me wrong.
But you could buy a tremolo pedal.
Yeah, of course you can, but yeah, I could buy a reverb pedal.
Of course,
you could do it all in one thing, and that was kind of, for me, that was what Vox were all about.
Yeah, it's a shame it's not there,
but it is still.
They keep it keeps the price down. How much is one of those AC10? £300, something like that.
Yeah, I think they're less than £300 now.
Are they?
They're.
Let's have a look.
Brilliant, brilliant amps. I mean,
still giggable for a small show as well.
£359, so just over.
Yeah. I think it's brilliant. I can't believe we missed it off. I feel like a bit of a donut for not suggesting it earlier.
An absolutely cracking amp. But probably, you know, less innovative than maybe some of the other stuff that we've been saying. But on a personal level, it could probably win for me, just because on a personal level, it's exactly what I want in an amp.
I think it's a really good... Like, you know, it's again, we talk about the sort of the innovation of these companies and bringing products to market that possibly, you know, take in the same. I think that this is very comparable to like the Micro Dog. It's like, I don't think anyone was particularly surprised that this came out, but also it's, you know, it's very, very welcomed.
Yeah. Mm. So it's that time where we cut the a recap of the list: PV Classic 20 Mini, Marshall 2555X, Orange Micro Dark, Victory Kraken, Black Star Artist, Roland JC40, Marshall Astoria, Vox AC10.
Oh, this is so we've hard. Got, there are four things in there that should win.
Well, we've got a bit bad that the THR's not on there, but I'm not going to go into that now.
No, so
THR 100.
We've got eight products there that and we've only got five spaces, so we need to cut at least three straight away.
I've got three that I think.
Well, let's do a little round table. Jay, pick one that you'd cut.
Pick one that I would cut straight away. Marshall Astoria.
Yeah. Matt Knight.
I would straight away, I would say both Marshalls, because I don't think they're bringing anything new.
I think we can definitely agree that the Astoria should go off the
It's
off
a great
the
amp, but I don't think it's bringing necessarily anything new to the world.
It's not the right play at this time.
The Astoria is gone. Two more to go. Jay Cross.
I don't really know anything about the Kraken. I would sort of have to go with the consensus on that. I mean, I would be...
Yeah, I suppose it's difficult because I've maybe got more experience with it. But, I mean...
I mean, out of the ones that are there, I would say...
Someone's not happy that we've knocked the Astoria.
I would say that out of the amps that are there, I would say that the things that should probably chop there are the Marshall and the Victory, because
the
I think
2555X and the Victory Kraken,
or maybe actually, the Marshall and the Black Star.
Do you know what?
Yeah,
actually,
I would say I think the Marshall and the Black Star.
The Marshall and the Black Star.
Once again, I think those two products don't necessarily.
We're culling the less innovative stuff, because I think amps is very different from guitars. The sort of the things we're looking for, and I guess we are looking
for. I suppose the thing is, you're going to buy multiple.
We're looking for
guitars,
something new.
But you're not necessarily going to buy multiple amplifiers.
That's,
I think in
that
in
that
sense.
Said, I mean. The Marshall 2555 sits in the same category as a
I know what you're going to say.
As the Les Paul Traditional. You know, it's an amp that, again, we all knew they were going to do because the Silver Jubilee reissue was so popular.
I don't think they're that crying good out sounding. For the Traditional. I think less people were crying out for the 2555.
Of course.
I also think the difference is the response has been very different. People have... When the Traditionals have come out, people have gone, oh yeah, that is exactly what we wanted. With the Marshall, it's come out, and I think a lot of people have gone, I'm not really sure that is exactly what I wanted.
Right, okay.
People have been crying out
amps,
Silver Jubilees for ages, but I don't think it hit the mark when it landed. I think people were just... Also, I think price, it was a bit more expensive than perhaps it should have been, whereas the Traditionals, as we've talked about, are very good value for money.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Amps have moved forward. Guitars have.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only sort of spinning
here.
I still think that the Marshall and the Black Star are the two that should...
Are we happy to lose those two?
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
Does that leave us five, does it?
That leaves us with the Classic 20 Mini, the Orange Micro Dark, the Victory Kraken, the Roland JC40, and the Vox AC10. So...
That is a five.
Any top three lock-ins for you, Jay Cross?
Top three lock-ins... Go straight in, are we?
I'm just thinking, you know, what's going to be winner, runner-up, runner-up two?
For me, the top three are... the top three are the...
Oh, man, that's so hard.
In third, I would put the Classic 20.
Okay.
In second, I would put the JC40. And in first, I would put the latecomer, the AC10.
Matt Knight.
I would agree with Jay on the third place. I think the Classic 20 should definitely be in the top three, because I think because it was a great amp. The Classic 30 was a great amp, and it's a natural evolution of that. Second place, I would probably put something like the Kraken, just because I think it's different to anything else on that list. I think it offers two sounds in amplifiers that you can only buy in big heads.
Okay.
And first, I would put the Micro Dark.
Wow.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Do you know what? I was actually thinking of putting the JC40 last, fifth.
What?
Because actually, once again, like we said, the Black Star and the Marshalls aren't bringing anything new to the table. In a way... nor is the JC40.
So, well, I disagree. I think the JC40 absolutely is pretty.
And I think less people are going to buy the JC40 purely because, even though we know it sounds great, and I think it still is a great amplifier, I think people are going to be like, I would. As soon as you tell people it's solid state, people go, and people plug it in and go, yeah, it's a great clean sound, but I want a drive channel. And it's like,
right.
It's just not in there.
I did not expect to have that, you know, fighting on the JC4. Yeah. And I like going third in this because it kind of means that I can tailor my top three around
fighting for
what needs to be fought for. So, I mean,
I overrule it.
I think, to be honest, with just quickly, I was going to say, unlike the guitar category, I think anything that we pick pretty much on that, I'd be happy
completely
in any position because they're all really good amplifiers.
Yeah. I mean, I would have had the. It would be really hard because I think everything on there except for the Micro Duck, which I don't really care about, those other four, I think if this was top four, could come in any order.
Okay.
But because I've got to pick three, I've got to cut something that I like. Which means that I'm gonna have to cut the AC10, even
really?
Though I don't want to.
Wow. I was not expecting that at all.
I know. And I think because I have to have the JC40 in, the Victory Kraken is so innovative. That's so astute, and that's what I love about the Kraken and the PV Classic is they're such astute amplifiers for the way stuff's working today, and for that reason those two have to go in, the PV first and the Kraken second. Yeah. and then the JC40 I think maybe slightly less innovative, but bringing back something that was getting hard to get hold of, that is an essential cornerstone of the amplifier market.
Also, the thing that I really like about the JC40 is what it signifies, in that it is Roland doing a reissue.
They're listening,
you know. It won't be long until we get that Space Echo reissue. It's coming.
So how do we feel about Orange Micro Dark going in fifth place?
I would agree with that.
Okay, so Orange Micro Dark in fifth. Fourth, I would say, is down to the, judging by what you guys have been saying, the the Kraken, the AC10. It's the Kraken or the AC10,
I think. Well, the Kraken for me and Matt was in second place.
See, yeah, but I put the AC10 in first place.
True.
It's difficult. I think the AC10 certainly hits more of a home-use market than maybe a gigging market, although you could gig with it. I think, you know, once again, looking at best gear, I think in terms of overall tone, in terms of sound, I don't think it's as good as some of the other amps that are on there.
The AC10.
In terms of sound, I would say it definitely doesn't sound as good as some of the other amps that would probably be above it.
That's a fair point.
So how about we say AC10 is in fourth, Kraken in third, and then it's just down to the JC40 or the Classic 20 for the top two spots.
I'd say that's a pretty solid top two.
I mean, I would have put the Kraken second and then JC.
I think the difficulty with the Kraken is you've obviously spent a lot of time with it. Joe likes the design ideas. I've only heard it in videos.
Yeah.
And Jay probably.
I know nothing about it. I'm
afraid. So I think third is a respectable place for it to finish.
Yeah.
So we've got the Orange Micro Dark in fifth.
That's a great top two.
The Vox AC10 in fourth, the Victory Kraken in third. Then we need to choose between the Classic 20 and the JC40 for first and second.
Innovative, says the PV.
I think we need to go around the table and you say one of the two for the top spot. Jay Cross.
PV.
Matt Knight.
Sorry, what are you saying? One or two?
This is for your first place.
And I know what, you know, I was saying about it a minute ago. I think the thing is, though, if we sat around this table now and I had the money in my hand and an amp either side and I was going to buy one, go home and use it.
I didn't think about that.
I would probably buy the JC.
Oh,
because it would work better for what I do.
Joe Branton.
That was a great swaying argument. That's true. I mean, I love everything about the PV. I think the PV is brilliant. I think everyone should go out and buy one because they are all you need. I mean, just imagine walking down the road to your show with that in one hand and your Telecaster in a tweed hard case in the other. That is just really cool and awesome. It's everything I want in an amp. But you are absolutely right. I think if I was in a shop with the money in my hand, who doesn't want to own a Jazz Chorus? That is a piece of heritage.
It's you know, I say the PV by like a hair's breadth.
Yeah,
you know,
they're both brilliant.
The JC40 is a quality amp.
I'm gonna have to go with the boys over here. I'm going for the JC40.
That's cool.
I think it is more of a complete package. It's not quite so feature filled, but I think you would be more happy to have that in your house.
More happy to have that in your house.
So
when you run it through your Space Echo.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So the best amp rundown 2015. In fifth place, the Orange Micro Dark. In fourth, the Vox AC10. In third, the Victory Kraken. In second, the PV Classic 20 Mini. And in first place, the Roland JC40. So the JC40 Classic 20 go through to the final round on day 5.
Oh wow.
Where we'll be fighting it out for the best piece of gear in 2015.
I'm really happy with that as a top two. I think those are two absolutely brilliant products to go through. I didn't realise amps were so interesting this year.
We should have a break and then we'll come back and do 2015's best product of 2014.
I forgot how exhausting this all is.
It's tiring, isn't it?
Let's go. Come on.
And we're back from an extended tea break to recover from the shock that was the JC40 winning the best amp of 2015.
Well done.
After some heated discussion. So it's now time for 2015's best product of 2015's best product of 2014.
Yeah.
Is that the right way around?
Yeah. 2015's best product of 2014.
Yeah, that is
2014's
right.
Best product of 2015. No, 2015's best product of 2014.
2016. So, best product of 2012.
which is I think this is the best category.
So the idea behind this is we look at the products that we gave Gear of the Year awards to last year, and see how they've kind of held up over the last 12 months. So in this category, we've got the Washburn Solar, the Randall Satan, the Classic Player Fender Classic Player Rascal Bass, the Strymon Deco, the Electro-Harmonic Soul Food, the Blackstar Fly 3, and the Boss RC1. So,
what are we cutting?
Let's just go cut straight to the chase. What's not held up?
I think less stuff has changed this year than it did last year, because we had a complete turnaround last year, didn't we?
Because
the winner in our first Gear of the Year was the Squire Vintage Modified Bass 6.
Yep.
I don't think it even got through the... We all agreed that it was just something that had fallen off.
Yeah, sort
of
flashing. It was funny, really, because I was looking at this and I was like, oh, well, Washburn Solar maybe. And then, because the store that I work in now, we didn't do a lot of Washburns until recently. We've just had a load delivered. And I picked one up and was like, actually, this guitar is awesome.
Yeah,
they're great.
Joe was fighting for them very, very hard last year. And I think it's kind of... justified now, because they have actually stood up. Like, people are still buying them, they're doing new models.
I think it's just bought out 7 and 8 strings, doing
and
a left-handed.
An Explorer as
yeah.
well.
But the one thing with the same player is the Randall Satan.
Yes.
I think Randall just got behind it, made the amp that he wanted. It's a great amp.
They sold him some,
but,
and not many others,
but
I don't think.
Where else can you buy Randall in the UK? I don't know a single place I've seen a Randall amp for sale recently.
Yeah, it's difficult. There just didn't seem to be as much kind of care behind it as someone like Washburn have put in to kind of nurturing that relationship with Ola England and kind of pushing that product, really. The Satan has kind of died off.
Yeah,
so how do we feel about cutting the Satan?
I think that's the...
Still a great product.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's a great product, but I agree. I completely agree. Just hasn't really had the impact.
The impact hasn't carried over until... this time this year. So, okay, so we're losing the Satan, which leaves us with the Washburn Solar, Fender Classic Player Rascal, Strymon Deco, EHX Soul Food, Blackstar Fly 3, and Boss RC1. That is a tough list.
Yeah, they're all great products.
Can I throw a spanner in the works?
Go on.
Soul Food. Cut it. It's had its day.
It actually has. Even Electro Harmonics have probably released, five new drive pedals
I just the amount of people buying them now are coming and going, can I buy Soul Food, has dramatically dropped off because of the amount of other companies now making similar products, which I suppose in one way you could say is an argument for them kind of paving the way for other people doing something similar, but at the same time
their brilliant copy
of another
gave everyone the opportunity to do other brilliant
copies. But I think
copies.
The thing is that now everyone's I think we're going to notice this a lot next year, is that the clone thing is done, the Dumble thing is the new sound that everyone's trying to get in a pedal, because all of these pedals coming out, I think we're going to start seeing next year, and seeing a few this year, like based on the Dumble sound. Everyone's like, no one cares about the clone anymore. And I think that's the thing with the Soul Food, is that it's kind of fallen down to just a sub 50 quid drive pedal that is actually really good and is a kind of a gem within pedals, but
not interesting enough for me. But then you and me were both fighting for this not to win last year. You two were fighting for this to win.
Yeah, and so. I've still got one on the board. I still really like it, but I completely agree. Because there's so much other competition out there, the Soul Food is a prime candidate for being cut. But I tell you what also is, because bear in mind, we're still doing a top five on this. So I'm saying that the Soul Food has got more legs than the classic player Rascal Bass.
I completely agree. The Rascal Bass was really great, but it was simultaneously extremely niche. Like it had a very specific look that it's completely is, well, you know, we were watching a demo video of it just before we did this, and like one of the comments on the video was how does it slap, and we were like, why would you, who on earth would want to slap on a short scale 60 style bass? Yeah. Which is true, why would you? It was a bass aimed at a particular type of player that at the exclusion of a lot of other players, and short scale basses will always do that. And
it wasn't it wasn't really a kind of session guy's bass, was it? It wouldn't do everything. It was very much a kind of retro styled
it was great, but it hasn't cemented as being one of the go to short scale basses. I think still, you know, Hofner violin basses, yep, SG basses, and Mustangs are still your three standard.
So how about we cut the Rascal from this list?
I'm good with that.
Good stuff. Okay, so we've got a top five to put together. We've got the Washburn Solar, the Boss RC1, the Blackstar Fly 3, the Strymon Deco, and the Electro Harmonic Soul Food. Because we all said the Soul Food was ripe for cutting, does that go into fifth place?
I think
the RC1 should be fifth place.
Really?
Yeah, because I think that I've actually, I just think, and you know, I said it last time, I said that it's not done anything.
No, it's cool. The RC1's cool, but I have to say, I still like,
I would rather have a Soul Food over an RC1.
Well, I was going to say, sort of on the line of what the sort of pedal it is, being a looper, I have a Ditto on my board just because it doesn't do a lot.
Because I think the Ditto came out in 2013, and that was one of our best products. Yeah,
exactly. But I still think it's better than the RC1. Not the RC3. The RC3 is great, but I just want simple real-time looping on my board, and I can either spend a whole pedal space on it or half of one. Mm. So... for that reason,
I really like the RC1. I think the RC1's really, really cool, and does it make that much odds? I realise that, you know, you guys are the ones with the boards, but like, how much extra space does it actually take?
I can get two pedals. So the way you position those mini pedals is on their side.
Yeah.
So you have one above them, suppose, and one below. The only reason I can fit a Hof reverb on my board is because I've got
the Ditto. You've got that there. Yeah, I understand that. I think this is all about hindsight. This is all about hindsight, and this is about what has got the legs to, you know, it's not just a flash in the pan. Like, we talk about how the basics, we all love the basics, but it didn't bring about the revolution that we kind of thought it might do. And you know, the legs sort of just dropped off it a little bit. But I think out of all of those five that are left there, the product that has had the longest and the sort of most consistent, you know, a broad appeal is the Fly 3.
I think that is the
if we're talking about the best thing on this list, and obviously best is very, you know, the parameters of which you would consider best changes from sort of spec, from you know,
product to product
and like genre to genre. So in this, you know, we're talking about hindsight, I think the Fly 3, I don't think they've, it's been out over a year now, nothing has come out within that category that comes close to it. You know, all of these companies have had plenty of time to produce something as close, as good as that, and nobody has done it. You know, you look at the Soulful, yes, there's been tons of things that have come out. I guess you could argue the same sort of thing for the Deco, in that, you know, there's not a huge amount that's come out that's, that does the same thing as the Deco. And, you know, I would probably put forward a case for that as well. The Solar, I think, to a certain degree, is just another... It's not that it's just another metal guitar, but it's, there's plenty of guitars like that out there. And the RC1, like you say, there's the Ditto and the Ditto. I think the Fly 3 has, like... I think that's the best thing on that list within the context.
You're right. Within that's the context of that. That's a great argument for it, and I completely agree. But there's almost context within the context. Of its range of products, of its genre of product.
Yeah.
And a battery powered practice amp is a crap category. Like, I don't care about them. No one's designed one because no one cares.
I don't think that's true.
I think this is a rare instance where that doesn't apply. Like, battery powered amps are pretty crap generally, but this is actually a product that has taken that concept and gone, all this stuff's crap, why don't we make something that's actually good? Which I think the Fly 3 is,
which was very easy to do when you've got a crap
category. Of course,
category.
But it is so much better than everything else in that category.
It's head and shoulders above everything else.
But no one wanted to buy mini amps because of what was out. Now loads of people want them because
the Fly 3 exists.
Because they're paving the way for a revolution in that particular product. Where, but going back to things like the RC1, is that it came out because it had to come out because other companies had already led the way and were already in front, and they went, oh well, we need to make this product.
Yeah,
they didn't make it as a...
Can I propose an order for the 5? I'm going to say, and please stop me if you disagree.
Stop.
Number 5, RC1. Number 4, Soul Food. Number 3, Washburn Solar. Number 2, Strymon Deco. Number 1, Blackstar Fly 3.
Absolutely not.
That was my top five.
Absolutely. What? That is unbelievable. I cannot let a battery amp win.
But well, bear
not.
In mind, they'll both go through to the final. We'll have that preposterous situation again where two 2014 products get into 2015's Gear of the Year.
We've thought this through.
No, I like it. I like how it shakes things up, and it forces us to have a conversation because you can go, okay, it gives you a nice measuring stick.
How good was this year?
The Deco is still the best thing that came out last year, and it's still one of the best pedals on the market at all out of everything out of there.
But there are a lot of things snapping at its heels. There's obviously the market is very competitive, and as we'll see in our hotly contested best pedal category in the next in tomorrow's episode. I think nothing is touching the Fly 3 in terms of coming close to a battery amp. They're both great products. They'll both make it through to the final.
That's just a ridiculous reason to let something through.
I don't think it is at all.
Because they've made something where there's no competition, and the Deco's made something where there's tough competition. Surely that's more reason for... The Deco is the best pedal out there in a really tough competitive market.
It's not the best pedal out there. The Deco is not the best pedal on the... It's not the best pedal available.
Whereas the Fly 3 is... Yeah, you know, if you're taking things and you're saying, right, what is the best... You know... The Deco is definitely, out of the three pedals that we've got left in the top five, so the RC1, the Deco and the Soul Food, the Deco is definitely the best of those pedals. If you go and have a look at the shortlist that we've got for the this year's pedal of the year, is it the best of those pedals? Probably.
It will struggle. It would struggle in that category.
It's amazing, and like, we shouldn't take anything away from it, but the Fly 3 is undeniably the best... Like this mini amp, and
this
you're
is a strong
like
argument.
This is
it's not a strong argument. It's a battery powered amp.
Yeah, and you're, what you're doing there is you're letting your prejudice of the fact that you like big amps get in the way of the fact that you don't really like Blackstar. That's what you're doing.
Those things are true. But also, if I wanted to play at home and I wanted to sound good, I'd buy a Vox AC4.
But that's too loud for a lot of people.
I think Fly 3 sounds better than an AC4.
I think the Fly 3 is a better sounding amp than an AC4.
Oh man.
I honestly
do. They're so good. They sound brilliant. Like, they genuinely sound like very, very good amps. And it's you know, I had this exact... When they came into demo it, I was like, this is not worth my time. I don't care about this at all. And it, like, that at one point, the rep just sort of grabbed me at a point where there was nothing going on. And I had to go over and watch it. And I was genuinely blown away to a point that I has... very rarely happened in the sort of 6 years or so that I've been working in guitar shops, like, that just doesn't happen. You know, very rarely do you hear something and are like, wow, that's like, that's really very, very impressive.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with that.
No, that's true. It is good.
And it, you know, compare it to anything else out there. Compare it to the Orange Crush 3, pony. Like, all those little Marshall amps, so pony. Like, the little Fender ones that look quite cool, so rubbish.
But as, you know, a product, as an individual product, it has the least use out of everything on this list.
Definitely for you, not. For you, it does. Yeah, for you and your mates, it does. The thing for like, for your dad, that's the most useful thing. Do you know what I mean? And for like a kid starting out, that's the most useful thing.
Mm.
And I would say that because of the type of pedal the Deco is, actually it's not a very useful pedal. It's a great sounding pedal and it does what it does very, very well. But it's not a drive pedal, is it? Or it's not like a multi-effects or whatever. It does a very, very distinct set. It's got a very, very distinct set of sounds, which we all really like. And we like the how it's packaged and we like the kind of price and stuff. But it's not, I don't think it's the best pedal in the world, and I don't think it's the most useful pedal in the world. I think
it's one of the best sounding.
We might have to take the consensus on this and go with Fly 3.
Look, I'm happy that Strymon's still going through.
Yes. Strymon's going through as number two.
I'm just cut up about the order, but as long as the Strymon's going through, then I can still push it very hard when we have the final gear of the years.
Okay.
At the end, because it is the best product, and I promise you this: this will be the first product to go when we're doing the cut.
The Fly, I don't think it will.
The Black Star Fly 3 will be the first product to go when we do the cut.
We'll have to wait and see. So we're happy with a fifth, the Boss RC1, a fourth, the Electromonic Soul Food, a third, the Washburn Solar, and second, the Strymon Deco, and the winner of 2015's 2014 Product of the Year, the Black Star Fly 3. Joe's not happy.
What you've witnessed here, listeners, is a tragedy.
It's democracy.
No. I don't know why you're getting so cut up about it. Like,
this is it's not hi-fi nerds. This is guitar nerds. It's a set of PC speakers.
No, it's a great sounding little guitar.
They're not PC
amp.
Speakers. It's a cool guitar amp.
I'm calling it.
It's fine. I'm happy with that too.
Good. So the Black Star Fly 3 and the Strymon Deco join the Gibson 2016 Les Paul Traditional, the Line 6 Variax Standard, the Boss ESA, the TC Polytune Clip, the Roland JC40, and the PV Classic 20 Mini in our final, which is on day 5. Tomorrow we are looking at Best Pedal 2015 and the Weirdest Gear 2015.
Oh man, Best Pedal is going to be mental.
It's the most hotly contested category. I think we're
also 20 entries.
We're going to have to just go straight to cutting things, I think. We won't have time to actually give a rundown on everything. But thanks for joining us. See us again. We've been doing this a long time today already. We've still got 3 episodes left.
And you are drinking pure gin.
I know, that's the problem. Bleach. See you tomorrow.
Cheers.
Bye.